From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. And I'm very excited about our guest DJ today. Felix, do you want to introduce her?
Ana Tiju is with us from the NPR Bureau in Los Angeles, NPR West. And we're very, very excited to have her because we are always interested in this, in the music that she's making, that she has been making. And as we talked a little bit before the show, I saw her about 3 years ago at South by Southwest, and so much has happened in the 3 years since then. So Ana, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Ana, we always start off asking, what was the music you grew up listening to? What was the soundtrack to your childhood?
Well, I would say that I had a very soundtrack, very different perhaps. But I will say there was a lot of Latin American music because my parents, of course, was put in Latin American music. So music from Panama, Argentina, Chile, obviously. Different country of South America. Rubén Blades, I will say. Right now, the first name that I've got on mind will be perhaps Rubén Blades.
Well, let's listen to something by Rubén Blades. This is El Tiburón, or The Shark, by Rubén Blades.
Ruge la mar embravecida, rompe la ola desde el horizonte. Brilla el verde azul del gran Caribe con la majestad que el sol inspira. El peje guerrero va pasando, recorriendo el reino que domina. Pobre del que caiga prisionero, hoy no habrá perdón para su vida. Es el tiburón que va buscando, es el tiburón que nunca duerme. Es el tiburón que va acechando, es el tiburón de mala suerte. Y se traga el sol en el horizonte, y el nervioso mar se va calmando. Se oyen los arrullos de sirena, embobando al cielo con su canto. Brillan las estrellas en la noche, la nube viajera va flotando. La luna reposa entre el silencio de ese gran Caribe descansando. Solo el tiburón sigue despierto, solo el tiburón sigue buscando. Solo el tiburón sigue intranquilo, solo el tiburón sigue acechando.
Tiburón, ¿qué buscas en la orilla? Tiburón,
¿qué buscas en la arena?
Tiburón, ¿qué buscas en la orilla? Tiburón,
lo tuyo es mar afuera.
Tiburón, ¿qué buscas en la orilla?
De tiburón el canto de sirena. Con la ballena,
tiburón, que buscas en la orilla, tiburón,
respeta mi bandera.
Ana, your parents were from Chile. You were born in France. What year did you really start listening to music and artists like Rubén Blades? When did it have an impact on you?
I think always. Like, I feel that the music that you listen since you are a child is the music of your life. And it's crazy because all those artists that I used to listen when I was a kid is still the artists that are with me until today in my iPod or whatever. I mean, they are my best friend, I think, in all life.
And some of the artists that you've mentioned that are really influential to you, like Daniel Biglietti from Uruguay or Chico Buarque, you know, they were artists that, like your parents, they were exiled at some point in the 70s. And I'm wondering if that provided a deeper connection with them.
Yes, totally. I feel that it was some sensitivity that I was feeling, like, in those lyrics. And I feel that sometimes, like, music can be the best book that you can read, and more when the singer or the writer of the lyrics, in this case, like, can touch that very special, like, DNA or in your brain or, of sensitivity. So, yes, I think it's normal. We always try, in a certain way, even if it's an artist from another country, to try to recognize yourself in a song, or you feel touched by a song. And obviously I feel that those artists that you mentioned that are really inspired by the way that they write their lyrics had been like the history of our life also, like Latino Americano, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And for listeners who don't know, your parents, would you say they went into exile during the Pinochet dictatorship in the 70s? Is that's right?
Yes.
So your mom, is it true that she was a punk singer in France and your dad listened to a lot of heavy metal?
Yes. She, when I was 3 years old, she had a punk rock band, I don't know for how many years. She made it because after she was working, and my father was super fan of the metal when I was a kid. I mean, we are very eclectic with taste at home, I think.
Like, what's a metal band that you would listen to?
Oh, no, I didn't listen. My father used to, but I remember a very specific band from France, which name is Trust. I remember that song that the name was anti-social, like, I'm not social person. And yes, it's funny at the same time. So now that I look back, like, and I remember about it, like, it's funny.
Talk to me about how you started getting into hip-hop. Was there an artist that made you want to become an MC? I mean, what was your first love in hip-hop?
I think it was, I fell in love with different artists, but I remember one specifically because I could understand the lyrics. So I was in France, and it was a band, still alive, which name is NTM. And it was a song which name is, the translate would be The World of Tomorrow, Le Monde de Demain. And that song was talking about, basically about this contradiction of being born in France and feel that you are almost like, you're not welcome sometimes in your own country. And in a certain way, when I listened to that lyric, it was 1988. I remember say, oh, I feel that way so many times. And they was writing this song in so perfectly well done, like in the way that they was describing the reality of the migration in France in this case. So I feel automatically like, wow, how somebody can write something so perfect to my eyes. And I still listen that song until today. Le monde de demain is in French.
You know, Anna, I'm curious about how, out of all the different styles of music that you were exposed to, like you explained, the metal, the punk, the Latin American music, you know, what was it about hip-hop that allowed you to find your own voice?
Because I feel that hip-hop, for me, I always consider it this style of music that is a land of so many people. I mean, it's the land of the people that doesn't have a voice, the people without a voice, and made their voice in the hip-hop. So that's why I think that hip-hop is so big around the world, because I think we all like have so many respect and appreciate so much that this style was invented here in North America. But I think it's very beautiful how also each country and each culture has been like taking this style and make their own sausage about how we made it. And I feel that also like this is the perfect mixture between talking with rhythm. And it's not very much that you are singing, but you are singing. You are singer, but you're not a singer. You are poet, but you're not a poet. You are writer, but you are like almost a sociologist of rhyme, to say in another, in some world. And in this case, I feel that it's very interesting, because I feel that make the powerless of this style, that where you don't need to go to the school or university. It's just about a feeling and this autodidact way of explain yourself about a reality or whatever.
A lot of people who follow your music don't understand Spanish, and that has
yes.
always struck me as just very interesting. I wonder, why do you think that is?
I have theory about it. I'm
Please
a theorist of this. One of my theory is that I feel that you got to understand, and I always say this, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I don't have the best way to explain it. Like, you got to understand, in South America, we have been listen and consume so many American music, and we didn't understand either, and we love it. I mean, I think we all has been fan of James Brown, or I don't know, on to the Temptation, until I don't know, A Tribe Called Quest or whatever. So I feel that this barrier of language has been broken, and it is begin to be broken between this is music first of all. That's my first theory about it, that at the end is the music that interests. And my second theory is that, I got to be honest, my school of rhyming has been a lot of North Afro-American music, Afro-American MCs. So I used to listen once again so many albums from here, like trying to understand the style of the rhyme, not understanding sometimes everything. So yes, my university and my school of rhyme has been Bahamadia or Q-Tip or The Roots or whatever. They was my teacher. I will not say that I'm them at all, but yes, I feel when you has been inspired and you take classes with your ear so many times with albums, like in a certain way you apply what they teach you in a style way, you know, of rhyming.
What was the first American hip-hop that you discovered?
A Tribe Called Quest. No, I know I'm saying stupidities. No, it was Public Enemy. Because I remember we saw this movie in France, Do the Right Thing, and it was like, "Paul, fight the power," and I come crazy. Say, what is this? Like, what is this? I fall automatically in love. Like, I remember I buy the cassette like a crazy. I don't know what age I used to have, like 10 or 11. I don't remember. I was super young.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Know that at that point, like, France was the second country consuming hip hop and making hip hop in the world. The hip hop scene is very huge, not only even in music, I mean the graffiti scene and b-boy scene. So I think that it was the perfect country when you was feeling that, oh, I can do that too. Like, you can create, and you, if you want, you can be a DJ, or you can dance, or you can rhyme. There was so many disciplines to explore and apply. So, yes, to my eyes of a little girl at the time, I was like, wow, it was a whole universe opening in front of my eyes.
So what did your parents think? Were you just like, one day, I want to be a rapper? And how did they react?
Very well. I've got the chance to have an amazing family, and I've got to tell you, like, I arrive in hip-hop not in a very cool way, but I arrive in a hip-hop for the work of my mother, because my mother was a social worker in Paris, and so she was working with all these young guys and women, and there was a whole super hip-hop. So some days I was not going to school, and I was with her at work, And I was looking at all of them making graffiti dance. And so I was like, wow, the work of my mother is the best. So they always have been super supportive. And because I feel that most of all, they are sensitive persons. And there is so much prejudice and ignorance about this style of hip hop.
And just like you hear from the different styles, like you, for example, with Fight the Power, there's sort of a James Brown feel to it. I have to say, when I first heard that, when I saw the film, that's what struck me, the James Brown beat,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I think that brought in people from my generation, because
yes,
I'm a little older than you, just a little bit. And and I hear that in your music, too, especially with your new album, La Bala. There's different types of rhythm. There's different beats. There's all kinds of different experimental, interesting things going on in the music behind your rapping.
Yes, it's what you say. I feel that the magic of hip-hop has been like that. A lot of us, we have been discovering, okay, I love this song. Who made that sample? So you begin to be almost like an investigator of music, no? And you discover another universe of jazz, bebop, Herbie Hancock, Miles Davis, Coltrane, James Brown, whatever, Patrice Rushen. You begin to be like fall in love with the original and what they done after, like all those artists.
I want to move on to discuss your newest album, La Bala, or The Bullet. Your previous album, 1977, was so introspective. It was almost like you were untangling yourself, like you were figuring yourself out, and you were talking about crisis de un MC, like having writer's block, or the year you were born, 1977. And La Bala is a very outward-looking album, and it's a very political and socially conscious album. And I'm wondering what caused that shift.
Well, first of all, everything is political, even the absurd. I feel that everything is joined, and every creation is revolutionary, even the fantasy. Even love is the first revolution. That's why that push you to make stuff, no? Love of creation, love of a change, love for life. Every creation, and not only the music, paint, dance, art, is very political always, because we are just a reflection of what live a society. Our lyrics are not so much from themselves. We just take ideas and we make a reflection about it. So in this case, it's obviously that La Bala was made in Chile last year, and we are was living, and we are still living, so many protests for the student right now for free education. And we are seeing all a whole country that has been under a dictatorship and then under corporative situation, like waking up. And every revolution, every war even, has been like, has affect like art in general. So obviously, like living in Chile and being a mother and see all those young people organize themselves, taking their school and asking for something so beautiful as a free education, because if our kids are saying that, it's because they are super alive, and there is nothing more beautiful than dream and fight for a dream. That is the beauty of knowing, no? So in that sense, yes, La Bala, I feel that it was super inspired of the atmosphere of what was and still happening in my country.
And I've always been curious, what prompted you to name the album La Bala?
I put La Bala because there is a song with La Bala, but also because now that I see with more time in the back, I feel that I made this album like with an objective of a bullet, like one shot, super direct, like not trying to find like metaphor. It was like boom, you know. So that's why I put the name.
It is a very direct album. And what song would you like to play off of it?
Well, I would like to play Shock. Why not?
Let's play Shock.
Venenos, tus monólogos, tus discursos incoloros. No ves que no estamos solos. Millones de polo a polo al son de un solo coro. Marcharemos con el tono, con la convicción que basta de robo. Tu estado de control, tu trono podrido de oro. Tu política y tu riqueza y tu tesoro. No, la hora sonó, la hora sonó. No permitiremos más, más tu doctrina del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó. Países solo corporaciones, quien tiene más, más, más acciones. Trozos gordos, poderosos, decisiones por muy pocos. Constitución pinochetista, derecho pues de hilando fascista. Golpista disfrazado de un indulto elitista. Cae la gota, cae la bolsa, la toma, se toma la máquina rota. La calle no calle, la calle se raya, la calle no calle, debate que está. Y ya todo lo quitan, todo lo quitan. lo vende. Todo se lucra, la vida, la muerte. Todo es negocio, bajo tu tordo, semilla, pascuala, método se borde. Venenos tus monólogos, tus discursos sin colores. No ves que no estamos solos, millones de polo a polo. Al son de un solo coro, marcharemos con el tono, con la convicción que basta de robo. Tu estado de control, tu trono podrido de oro. Tu política y tu riqueza y tu tesoro, no. La hora sonó, la hora sonó. No permitiremos más, más tu doctrina del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó del shock. La hora sonó, la hora sonó.
La solución a nuestro problema, otra termolíquica de chilenos a la calle.
Doctrina del Shock, referring to the Naomi Klein book, The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism, which is used to explain what has happened in Latin American economies. I mean, Argentina collapsed at the beginning of 2000, and what is happening in Chile right now. There's a lyric in this song that I wanted to ask you for some help with translating.
We got a very specific slang in Chile. I'm sorry.
No, actually, I'm fascinated by it. It says, Pacos, Guanacos y Lumas, Pacos, Guanacos y Tunas, Pacos, Guanacos no suman, ¿cuántos fueron los que se robaron las fortunas? What does that mean?
Pacos, like, that's why we say to the cops when people are protesting. Guanaco is when they put, like, the water against the people, that truck.
Oh, like the fire hose.
Exacto, Guanaco. Lumas is how they beat the people, you know, cops. They got these...
Like batons.
Exactly.
Like baton.
So, Paco Guanaco si Lumas, Paco Guanaco si Tunas. Tunas, we say that, like, as a gun. And Paco Guanacos no suman, so cops, what you say, this truck of taking water to the people, no suman, they...
Don't add up.
They don't add up.
Then. So cops and water...
Like fire hose.
Fire hoses fire don't add up. And then you ask, how many of you stole money from us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the musical part of it. Which comes first, the music or the lyric? Each track seems to be based on something very, very different. And then this one is almost a march.
Mm. It was very symbiosis of both, because we work with Andres Celit, who produced the album, and he's a jazzist drummer. Nothing got to do with this. And I say, I want that you produce the album. I say, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure, absolutely. So, and I know him since a long time ago, and as a jazzist keyboard artist, like, he's playing like so many notes, you know, and I'm always, oh, that's amazing, but can we make it more simple, please? So, can we make more simple? Beat it. Okay, can you sample one note? Then, and for Shock, it was like that. He was playing one note because I was like saying, like, can make you make less. So he's staying one note, then I say, stay there. And he was looking at me like, what is wrong with you? I say, just stay there, please. And then he's when I begin like, that's why we work all the album.
I'm a musician, and that whole process, like, less, that's it right there, hold it. And then you put on your own lyric and your own flow on top of something that was simple. That's pretty, I'm impressed, man. That was very nice.
Oh, thank you, because I feel that also, like, it's very complicated. You're a musician, so sometimes to let your ego in a other place and trying to find simplicity. And simplicity is more... Even if I like the complex, but the beauty of the simplicity is like this undress of complexity. Oh, I should make a song about this. No, it's too theoretical. Nobody's going to understand. Yeah. But the philosopher would say, what she's talking about? Like,
no, that's what Miles Davis used to say.
Yes, same less thing. Is more. You know what? One of the possible name of this album was going to be perhaps Less is More.
Huh.
You are really into jazz. You've incorporated jazz a lot into your music. And I'm particularly thinking of your Elephant mixtape, which mm-hmm. is one of my favorite mixtapes of recent years.
Wow,
I think
thank you so much.
It's just brilliant. And it has such a relaxed jazz vibe to it. And I'm wondering how much of jazz, beyond the bed of music that is underneath your rhymes, how much of it has influenced your own lyrical flow?
Everything. It's not that I love jazz. I'm married to jazz. I mean, I'm not a jazz artist, but I remember I buy my first album of jazz when I had like 14 years old, and I begin to feel I fall in love with Wynton Marsalis at that time.
Huh.
And then I discover Coltrane, and then I discover like all these crazy guy, and I say, this is hip hop. That's so hip hop. And then I follow with Miles Davis and Parker, and I'm super fan of jazz. I got to say, I'm super frustrated because I would love, if I was not making hip hop, perhaps I will do in jazz, because there is this language. I don't know why, but it's touched me. By the way, I'm super fan of an amazing like keyboard artist. I discovered him in France when I went not very long time ago, which name is Tigran.
Tigran,
Armenian.
We have something by him.
I'm crazy about Tigran. This is has been my artist all last year. Like during I was doing La Bala, like I was listening to Tigran and almost crying. Like this guy is crazy. Like, you know, like those new artists that happen. You know.
This is Tigran Hamasyan. This is a track called "What the Waves Bought."
Oh, it's the best. Oh, no, that's the best track. You're going to kill me here. You can't play like that. It's almost like a loop. It's super hip hop for me.
Would you do a jazz record?
I would love to. Oh yes, it's one of my dreams. Totally yes. It's crazy when every time that I know about somebody that I admire, because really I admire him to hell. Like I'm super fan, and it's crazy because when you love an artist, because I love so many artists, you just don't love the music. You fall in love with the universe of that person.
Sure.
You know? And it's crazy because every time they talk to me about, oh, somebody that knows Chico Buarque, and they tell me how it is, I say, I knew that he was like that. Like, come on. It couldn't be another way, because there is so many sensitivity. I've got to say, like, I feel that people is very sensitive, doesn't have sometimes a good life, because you almost suffer for every beauty that you feel, you know? And Tigran is one of those artists that, like almost Hiroshima in my head, like wow. What is wrong? And I was listening to this like all day, like I think that all my neighborhood was like, stop it with this music. I couldn't, like, you know,
like I said, as a lifetime, almost a lifelong jazz fan, you already are there. You're advancing, you and other artists like you are advancing that language already. you know, Miles Davis was listening to hip hop in the years that he died.
Hancock,
he did
so many.
Yeah, he did one album with
Robert Glasper right
and
now.
Kool Moe Dee. He did an album with Kool Moe Dee. And to answer your question, Jasmine, is I think that she doesn't really need to go to speak the jazz language because she's already doing it with
Absolutely.
The sensibility in hip hop.
You got to know that Chile is a small country and there is an amazing jazz scene. And I always go to make some jam with friends. And it was a friend right now from here, like Joel Holmes, and a pianist. And we make a concert together. I don't know what I was doing, but I was just going the flow. And I was like, just laughing, like on stage. Like, it's not even about like, oh, I will present myself and I will kill it. It's just about you enjoy a certain way with jazz artists in this case, that is almost to make love with music, you know? It's an orgasm of sobreestimulación.
Overstimulation. That overstimulation. I want you to do an album now with Tigran.
No, I will die. Like I'm super nice. I discovered him last year. I didn't know about him, and I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, I didn't know that he was existing. Like, amazing Armenian pianist, amazing.
I want to take you back to La Bala, though. Can we play another song off of La Bala?
Of course. We can play something that got nothing to do with chalk. I will play Volver.
So this is more of a love song, and it feels so personal. And I'm wondering, when you're doing an album like La Bala, which, like you said, is so direct, and it really reflected a lot of the anguish of what is happening in Chile right now, how do you incorporate something like a love song into that? Do you think about it, or is it just very organic?
I don't think about it. I'm not a mathematician of music, so, and I'm not a publicist, so... no, but do you understand what I mean?
Come on,
I don't like to be logical. I think there's the beauty in the absurd and the illogical also. And there is nothing more beautiful than love and the most illogical without control about it. So I always make love songs. So it's funny because they're always asking me like, you're a political singer. Say, do you understand how many love songs I got? I mean, it's my first like, come on, that pushed me to make me stuff, you know? And yes, I feel that for me, in my case, I don't like to continue with the logic. And sometimes some people doesn't like it, you know, because they want to close you in a box, no?
Thank you.
wanted to finish off today's show with one of my favorite songs off of La Bala, mm-hmm. which is Sacar la Voz. It's a mm-hmm. beautiful collaboration you did with Jorge Drexler. And before we go, I want to ask you one last question. I read in an interview with you in the website mehaceruido.com, which you were discussing Nueva Canción, the whole 60s and 70s protest music. And back in those days, you said South America was too dangerous for the United States because we all speak the same language, we have the same religion, but there are fights for silly issues like borders, but there is a political force that was too dangerous, as was the music. Do you think that applies to Latin American music today?
Did I say that? No, I'm joking. Who is that girl? She's crazy. We say so many stupidities. Yes, I feel that it's like Africa, you know. I think that the south of this planet, like, there is a force, there is an energy that is very interesting, and it's very interesting to be able to see it also and to feel it. And there is some passion in everything that make me feel still that the land is so alive. I think that the land is composed by the people. The people make the land, not the... Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I feel the same way with North America. Like, I will say this, like, the first time I was, like, afraid of almost to come, you know? And I say, oh, how it is, like, come on. And then I fall in love with people. Like, I fall with so many artists, musicians, creative people, sensitive people. So I think this is not even about North America or South America. I think this is about one America. I always say this because the day that we understand that we all got the same struggle and the same fight, the fight for life, for a better life, is nothing more beauty than that. We are dangerous as a society because we are thinking, we are putting the action, the capacity of action in our struggle, no?
Muchas gracias, Ana. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much to put the best song of Tina.
Thanks. And we want to remind our listeners that you can hear each and every cut that we played on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
I'm Jasmine Garst.
And I'm Felix Contreras.
This has been Alt Latino. And this is Ana Tijoux's Sacar la Voz. Or is it speaking out loud?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. You guys get the message.
Respirar para sacar la voz, despegar tan lejos como un águila veloz. Respirar un futuro esplendor, cobra más sentido si lo creamos los dos. Liberarse de todo el pudor, tomar de las riendas, no rendirse al opresor. Caminar erguido sin temor, respirar y sacar la voz. Tengo los bolsillos vacíos, los labios partidos, la piel con escama cada vez que miro hacia el vacío. Las suelas gastadas, las manos atadas, la puerta de entrada siempre tuvo el cartel que dijo que estaba cerrada. Una espina clavada, una herida infectada, entramada, una rabia colmada en el todo y en la nada. El paso torpe al borde sin acorde cada vez que pierdo el norte. Tengo la pérdida del soporte. El tiempo que clava me traba, la daga me mata, filuda la flama sin calma que de las manos se me escapa, pero tengo mi rincón florido. Sacar la voz, no estoy sola, estoy conmigo. Liberarse de todo el pudor, tomar de las riendas, no rendirse al opresor. Caminar erguido sin temor, respirar y sacar la voz. Estaban quebrados, el mirar encorvado, el puño cerrado. No tengo nada, pero nada suma en este charco. Mandíbula marcada, palabra preparada, cada letra afilada hasta la cresta de la oleada. Sin pena ni gloria, escribir esta historia. El tema no es caerse, levantarse es la victoria. Venir de vuelta, abrir la puerta, estar resuelta, estar alerta. Sacar la voz que estaba muerta y hacer la orquesta. Caminar, seguro, libre, sin temor, respirar. La voz. Liberarse de todo el pudor, tomar de las riendas, no respirar.
saga haga lo que haga uno. Estraga oportuno, tú no cobras lo que el tiempo paga. Se traga saga tras saga, raspa con su amarga espátula. Huérfano se hace de brújula, su lúcida lenta en celo. Blanca el arma, blanco el pelo, su blanca cara de crápula. Esta décima espinela, la que Violeta cantaba. La de la sílaba octava del payador, vieja escuela. Y lo que duela, si es que tiene que doler. La flama sin calma que arder tenga, que así siga ardiendo. Que siga fosforeciendo si tiene que florecer.
A colgar la copla que el viento mece, que pocas veces merece, cada pena suelta voz, cada tos, pensando en sacar la voz.